This is a Pinball News production.
Good morning. Glad to see the smiling faces. I'm Dr. Scott, and this is Coffee Chat with Dr. Scott. My name is Scott Sheridan, and this is Ron Kuhn, Jr., who has worked for me for well over 10 years now. The Dr. Scott comes from Rocky Horror Picture Show, which is one of my passions. And my name is Scott. I got tagged with Dr. Scott doing a service call for a friend who was having a Rocky Horror party and kept that ever since. I met Ron. He played the criminologist at a couple casts, and we became friends. And he's a computer geek by trade, and he started coming by the store. And I used to send my boards out to get repaired. And Ron came by, and I didn't have to send boards out. And he could fix things that I couldn't. So that's a worthy employee. So I'd like to introduce you to my store. It's at 1374 Conant Street, which is US 20, right south of exit 59 of the Ohio Turnpike. And if you're ever driving down Interstate 80 or 90, please stop in and say hi. I'd love to show you what I've got. But if you're not there, I'm going to show you a few pictures of my store. In the front corner of the window is a Time Warp back glass to celebrate Rocky Horror Picture Show. And I have the real privilege of having turned my hobby, my passion, into a business. I'm not making any money, but I'm having fun doing it. This started back in the 70s. Pinball was one thing I could do real good in college and had a lot of fun. I was involved in a production of Tommy back in 1970, soon after the rock album came out. And I transferred to Kent State, where there was a pinball machine in the student union you give the Fonzie touch to. And it was a Gottlieb Sheriff. And I loved drop targets. And I would, it was an interesting effect going down, playing pinball. And then pretty soon I started paying a lot of pinball. And they took the sheriff out, and I realized I had to pay to play. And I was hooked, and just pinball was just a passion. Okay.
Good question.
Yes?
So if you were involved in Tommy in 1970, then you must have been involved in the production that wrote its own.
Yes. Yes, it was at the University of Toledo. And
take the album and kind of build it into a script with dialogue or something?
There was a little bit. We had a band who actually played the entire thing, and hearing that music over and over and over during rehearsals got me to appreciate it. And in fact, one of the things I collect are various versions of Tommy. And I'd like to see what you've got and we could share. Coming to Pinball Expo has been absolutely wonderful. The friends that I've met, I remember running into Dave Marston the very first expo I came to, and I had cassette copies of the soundtrack to Tilt, the movie with Brooke Shields, and I've seen Dave ever since. Sam Harvey, he could probably tell you, I'm sure he can tell you, the games that I brought to the very first expo. I haven't made it to all 25 expos, but the ones that I've come to, I've really enjoyed. It's just absolutely amazing. I got into this hobby in the early 70s, and I went to Boston and got a truckload of old wood rails and brought them back to a warehouse in Toledo, and where I would painstakingly restore them one at a time. And
That's what
they meant. Okay.
Go ahead. Yeah. I've had this big rack up on the wall, a very top shelf, all of wood rails waiting for somebody to come along and take it.
Well, I got these from a shop in Waltham, Massachusetts. And who was that? But anyway, there was 50 machines. No, it was 40 machines for $5,000, old wood rails. and I brought them back one at a time, or brought them back, and I had no idea who was into the hobby. And it, through just, you know, making phone calls, I met Russ Jensen and Dick Buchel, Gordon Hassey and Steve Young and Tom Taylor and Rob Burke. And Rob tried starting a pen pal club with postcards of who has what games and what parts for sale or trade. I'm trying to do this hobby before the internet was absolutely insane. Thank goodness for Wyco and Sam and trying to get parts. But beyond that, it was really, really crazy. Okay, well, anyway, I've got a few machines on location. I used to have, where the Jungle Queen was, is I had a Fishtails and had to bring that back into the shop. And I thought, well, hey, why don't I put a retro game out there? And what's really interesting is in a recent issue of Pin Game Journal, Clay talks about how wonderful drop target Gottlieb games can be on location. And so, gee, I'm ahead of the curve. The other day, just this week, I had a problem with the Jungle Queen. You drop a quarter in, it would go click and whir, but wouldn't give you a credit. So I thought, oh, well, this has got to be in the credit unit. Limit switches, cleaned them up, still didn't fix it. And so I was inside, and there was a couple contacts in the score motor. Cleaned them, reached over, coined up the machine, click, ah. At that precise moment, when fixing a game, that aha moment of you fixed it, wow. I leaned back, and Revenge from Mars, I bumped the flipper button. Yes, yes, yes! At that precise moment, it was just a wonderful, wonderful feeling. We'll go back to that slide. But coming to Expo, having met Gordon Morrison, having met Ed Krinsky, having met Greg Ferris, George Gomez, Jim Patla, to have those games on location, but to have that intimate relationship with the machine through the designers, through the personalities that built these machines. That's what the passion of pinball is all about. Okay. I used to have a store down the street. It was a little 1,200 square feet. I had room for maybe 15 machines, a few slot machines. I didn't do video games, and thinking of Tim Arnold, where he wanted to have the big letters on the roof of no FVG. And but the customers kept coming into the store, pinball store, oh, do you have Defender? Well, that's a pretty rare pinball machine. No, the video game. Oh. As you walk in the store, here's a row of Williams games. Go back. What was really neat is Millionaire. Got to meet Jerry Armstrong. I mean, it's been years since he's been to an expo, but he was here this year, got him to autograph the Translite. That's a real thrill. To the left of that is a pin bot. What we do is we'll bring the Translites from these games and get them autographed. And it's just kind of a plus sale. We don't charge extra for the autographs when we sell them. One of the beauties of having a store like this is I get the games, I work on the games, and I can play them. And then I sell them. There's three kind of pinheads. There's the collector, there's the player, and then there's the tech. I used to be the collector, but I can't save them all. So this is the best of both worlds. As a player, I'm hopelessly mediocre. But as a tech, it drives me nuts. I'll be playing a game. Oh, that rollover didn't score. That light bulb's out. I will end up stopping what I'm doing and take off the glass, tweak that switch, change that light bulb. And so I don't enjoy playing that much because I'm too easily distracted. Okay. There's also a row of the Data East and Stern games. I always try to have at least one of the new games. And I hope to have some, pick up a couple in a week or two. Here is my Bally row. and like Gottlieb Row. This is from the other end. I kind of have the rows chronologically arranged. But the fact that to be able to have come to Expo and say I've met George Melenton. There's also in that row the black hole, to hear the story of black hole. I also have the caveman. As go further down the row, cue ball wizard and oh, what else is back there? But to have met John Norris and meet him, or David Moore, bless his soul. Okay. And then we also have a row of Williams. The Gorgar, my brother saved that. He lives in upstate New York, and there was unlimited pickup, and there was this pinball machine sitting by the curb, and he called me up and said, should I save it? God, yes! What? And so drove to New York and saved it. Above the game is a Captain Fantastic back glass. A few years back at Expo, Mayfair, Steve Engle had his booth, and he had a rack of glass. And I was looking at that. Yeah, that's pretty nice. To my left, there was Dave Christensen. To my right, there was Greg Kimmick. And I took my Sharpie, took it to Dave, sign it. Oh, $200? Okay, here you go. Greg, sign it. And at that expo, I had a picture of Dave and Greg and myself. And it's one of my prized possessions. And I would not have been able to get that without coming to Expo. And this is an interesting, the hodgepodge row of Gottlieb System 1s. I've got a Agent 777 game plan. I've got an Atari Airborne Avenger, Steve Ritchie design. And so lots of machines. I also, one of the things I try to do is take pictures of customers. I'll take pictures. I've got literally thousands of pictures of my customers with their machines. I've been doing this for 15 years, and I buy games wherever I can. I have done containers, but ever since 9/11, buying a container and getting it, having the privilege of paying $6,000 to have a container inspected where they pull every game out. I mean, I have a real good supplier where he will carefully wrap every game in cardboard and stack them three across, three high, seven deep. When customs gets done, they pull everyone out. They open every game. And who knows, contraband could be in the very last one. And then they wrap the things up with inspection tape and throw them back in. On my last container, there was about seven or eight machines absolutely destroyed. And you cannot sue the government. Insurance won't cover it. So I'm not going to import any more containers. But the fact is that there aren't any more warehouses in Europe to import the games from. So games find me. Oh, in the bottom left corner, there was a operator in Adrian, Michigan, who was going out of a business, and I took a lot of his stuff on consignment. And one of the things he had for sale was a Rockola Yellow Submarine jukebox. And this was serial number 2. And I had it, I think it was for sale for like $12,000. And a little school teacher who collected Beatles memorabilia bought it. And also in the pole barn I had a Beat Time. And we restored that. We had the inspiration to fix it all up because we knew we had a guaranteed sale. Ah, hold on. I also do pachinko machines. Back in the 70s, there was a drugstore that would sell pachinko machines for $20. And absolutely loved pachinkos, but I never knew where I could find pachinko balls. And one of my suppliers, when I got a container, I said, hey, how about some pachinko machines? And so I had 50 pachinko machines thrown on the container, and figured about 2,000 pachinko balls per machine. Have any idea how heavy 100,000 pachinko balls can be? But I've got them in the warehouse. I also have slot machines and more slot machines. I've got this Krispy Kreme sign. That thing is bright. You can basically get a suntan from that thing. That was from a franchisee who lives in town. The store closed when Krispy Kreme got into some financial trouble. They closed up a lot of the individual stores. And she was going to put that in her basement, and she fixed it up and had a movie theater theme. And she ended up buying 3 or 4 machines from me. And she didn't know what to do with the sign. I said, oh, I'll take it on consignment, sure. She paid $8,000 for that thing. And it's in for sale at the store if you want it. Also have a Rockola bubbler jukebox. I've had that for about 6 or 7 years. I got that at a New Orleans AMOA show. New in the box. Go back to the other one. Also, from a warehouse raid in Cleveland, was a Harley Davidson kitty ride. Picked up 2 of them. And it's a very unique. When you pull the throttle, it has the Harley sound. It's absolutely amazing. Hey, advance. I also have other jukeboxes, 45s, Wurlitzer, Seabergs. Haven't sold one of those in years. It's an obsolete format. Once in a while, people come in and say, oh, that's really cool. I used to do jukeboxes, and Ron, he has better success at it than I do. And I had a whole, when I moved stores, I basically dumped all my miscellaneous jukebox supplies to a guy in Cincinnati.
What about that Tommy t-shirt on the wall there? I notice it's full color. I've never seen a full color one of those before.
That I had custom made. That I was at a county fair. I used to do county fairs. I would get a 20 by 20 tent and take a bunch of machines and let the people play, and I would be working on an EM, or I'd be tweaking or cleaning the play field, and it was always a conversation and talk about my store. And there was a guy who was an airbrush artist, and I took I picked up a semi of 20 skee-ball machines from Discovery Zone Bankruptcy Court, and that semi was parked in my parking lot for about a year. And we restored these one at a time, and this is the very last of them. And the nets, there weren't as many nets as there were machines, but there were more backs, and I've got bunch of parts in the back, but trying to come up with nets, and Ron's working on some various ways of doing it. To buy a set of nets from Skee-Ball is $600, so that's absolutely insane. I also have some bowlers, also have video games. At the old store, I never did video games, but people ask for them, and so we have an interesting collection. I don't actually go out and seek them, but if someone says, hey, do you want this game?
Business
really sucks right now. Yeah. Traditionally, fourth quarter, I would sell a machine a day. And previously, when I moved to the store, I got to a couple machines a day. Last year, it was, I think I sold 6 machines in October, 10 machines in November, and about 10 machines in December. It was just, if I have a Christmas like this year, I don't know if I can survive, but I'll sell anything. We got more video games. Oh, this is last year I brought that first Tune to the Moon, which is a custom-made game by Skee-Ball for Disney. If you were here at Expo last year, you saw it. It's a one-of-a-kind. Also from my personal collection, but I'm going to sell now, is a really beautiful baby Pac-Man and Granny and the Gators. If I don't sell them, that's fine. If I sell them, but then again, I've got the store. I can't save them all. I've got a few locations. This is a cute little diner in uptown, or by the High Level Bridge in downtown Toledo. I've got 2 Mega Touches machines. Those things will have $400 to $500 a month. The pinball machine will have maybe $60, $70. Sometimes $40 in it. And it's one of my better locations. And even though I got a Fishtails, I mean, I'll have a Harley Davidson, I'll have a Revenge from Mars, Star Wars Episode One. The last game I bought new in the box was Roller Coaster Tycoon to put it on location, and after a couple years, I maybe have paid for itself, but it's a pretty slow return on investment, so I'd rather stick to older games. A laundromat. One of my containers, I had a whole bunch of Fishtails and Demo Mans, and they seem to be fairly good location pieces. I've got about a dozen machines that I rotate. Another, Turtles. One of my very first containers, and I've told the story before, when I opened up a container from Puerto Rico, I opened up the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and facing me was a big, hissing cockroach. And the cabinet is water damaged, but the Turtles game, I would be embarrassed to sell them because the cabinet is so rotten. When you take it apart, half the cabinet dissolves itself. But it's good and sturdy and great location piece. I even have games in an AA clubhouse. And that does fairly well. My three passions in life are Rocky Horror Picture Show. I've been sober now for 22 years. And pinball. I didn't mean to do that. But, yeah, with Pinball Expo number one, I don't remember much of it. I was drunk most of the time. But with Tim Arnold's first pinball museum in that strip center, AA Clubhouse, Pinball Museum, theater that showed Rocky Horror Picture Show. Everything in one mall. Okay. I also have my little museum, my tributes to Tommy. I've got sheet music. But I also have the first working Whitewood to Revenge from Mars. This was from Expo 99 when they were selling a whole bunch of stuff and just happened to be at the right place at the right time at 3 o'clock in the morning and got the Whitewood for Revenge from Mars. And in the upper right corner, there's a ball elevator that was like from Pinball Magic, where the ball was going to get sucked up into the spaceship. And that idea took too long, and they did away with that. Also on the right is the first working Whitewood for Data East's very first game, signed by Joe Kamenkow. It's signed by Gary Stern, and I'd love to come to Expo when Joe is here and get him to sign that.
Yeah, we do want to, if whoever's running the Internet Pinball Database, I did submit an entry to see if we can get that log so people want to visit or actually look at it, see it, touch it. Is that actually at the store?
Okay, that's the picture I was looking for with showing the customers. I've got a row like that in the front of the store and a row like that in the back of the store. Go back to that other one. I've got the sharpshooter back glass signed by Roger Sharp with in the bottom corner right where the mouser is the a picture of Roger holding the glass. A fireball back glass signed by Dave Christensen. I also have a Tommy Playfield, a Kiss Playfield. More slots, Pepsi machine, and most everything's for sale. This is the front of the store, and that basically says it all. I've got pinballs, videos, and slots, oh my. And people, being so close to the turnpike, I will have people stopping in and just, oh, I'm in pinball. So usually my first question is, what games do you have? And most pinheads who love to talk about their games will just talk on, and we can just talk and talk and talk. This is kind of the front of the store, which is the warehouse area. Got a bingo machine, a Jennings slot. Oh, there's a Wyco Aftar. If anybody's interested in a non-working Aftar, Ron's pulled his hair out many times trying to fix that thing. And if anyone wants to do a trade, give me a call. Bowling machines. I mean, I've got, you know, an old shuffle puck from the 50s next to a the pneumatic striker game. They find me. And really interested in the bowling, the big ball bowler guy. He seems to have some interesting parts. I need to find out what... And I've got bowlers in the warehouse. Okay, advance. More stuff. Silver Strike bowler is a repair job. The yoke had a short in it. And trying to find CRT parts nowadays is getting harder and harder to find. Pool tables. When I bought the building from Lighthouse Pools, there was a spa and pool shop, and in the off-season they sold pool tables. And I signed in the purchase of the building was an anti-compete clause that I would not sell pool tables or pool table supplies. So those aren't really there. More slot machines. I've got a Golden Gate with Dave Christensen Art. And if anyone wants to do a trade on that, I'd love to talk to you about it. This is my ego wall, as the media whore I am. Articles in Replay Magazine, Playmeter, newspaper articles. I have an article about my passion for pinball from 1979. And so I can show people that I've been doing this since the 70s. I've had the store since 93. Go back and was the... can anyone name that... Art Deco pinball machine. I got that from Mark at Expo about 10, 15 years ago. Put and Take, Western. And also I've got a couple Bagatelle games on the wall. This was an eBay find of Tommy in L.A. at the amphitheater. Those are transit marquees. And a painting of Dr. Scott, of Jonathan Adams. This is Ron's workbench. Our back room is very, very organized. Here's our filing system. We try to have lots of schematics. Every once in a while, I will come across an operator who's going out of business or wants to dump his warehouse. I don't actively seek looking for papers like some of the guys do. They seem to find me. I also have the philosophy of never throw anything away. We've got some tumblers out in the pole barn, and whether it be bolts, steel feet, washers, anything that's metal, we'll throw it into the polishers, and if we can save it, we will. Here is a sick example of never throw anything away. Light bulbs. And we just had this little, 3-gallon bucket, which we kept throwing them in, and turned into a 5-gallon bucket, which turned into a 8-gallon bucket. And we've got light bulbs. And so Ron painstakingly separated the 555s, 47s, and 44s. Some of them work. Aren't the ones that are silvered and were working, we still took them out, put them away. But guess the number of light bulbs in the jug, and you'll win your choice of the George Millenton Bingo backlash or a framed Freddy, and must be at the banquet to win. Thank you, Ron, for that painstaking counting and sorting. Never throw anything away. Harness cables. I try not to throw games away, but the ones. Well, actually, when dealing with other operators, I will buy their junk. Junk we've got. This is pinball purgatory. Games we haven't decided whether we're worth saving or selling or restoring. Piles of boards. Why do I save ramps? You'll never need to use ramps. If you have a broken ramp, you get it fixed. But we've got them. Transformers. We have got your transformers. We've got your parts. We got your plunger rods. Broken plunger rod? You don't throw it away. And the bumper caps? You don't throw it away. So in amongst, kind of one side is used bumper caps, the other side is good ones. I mean, what I tell my customers is when I change the rubbers, I'll throw their used rubbers in the cash pan and say, a used rubber is better than a busted rubber any day. More parts. I'll go back to that other one. One of my finds was a Bally driver board test jig. We don't need it, but I've got it. If anyone's interested in it, talk to me. I'd love to trade for something. Parts. More parts. Plastics. I've got bins and bins of plastics. Some of those are ours. Some of those I've gotten from other operators. Lockdown bars, coin mechs. International coin mechs, I mean, we'll just throw them. I mean, nothing worse than when you're missing a spring or the little nub nuts. You can just, parts is parts. Coils, lots of coils. When I was at Green Coin in Myrtle Beach, I was inspired by this effect, is you take 2x4s, route out a groove, and put your coils on a dowel, and they're nicely displayed, easily accessible. The only problem here is you have to climb up on the bench to get it, but it's a good way of organizing them. And these are just more parts. There's the one drawer says Allied pinball parts, and the parts is parts. Never throw anything away. We've got, this is what's behind the skee ball machines, just play fields. So if you need a nut, you know what it's like. Then more of the pole barns. These are more bowlers, a bingo machine, some furniture. There's a Tron, what do you call that?
A bezel.
A bezel for the Tron machine. I don't have the game, but I got the bezel. If you need one, let's trade. Back glasses, parts, legs. Why is it that you can only get three legs to match? I mean, I had this problem with wood rails. I would have dozens and dozens of legs. Why could I only find three matching legs? Never find that fourth. Here we got some weeds growing on legs. And more legs. More legs. More coin mechs. Parts. And my covered wagon and an open wagon. I sold a Mousing Around. And I delivered the game to a guy, and next to his garage was this trailer. And he was a painter by trade. And I commented about how nice his trailer was. And then he started moaning and groaning that he had a job where it was a hazmat, where he had to remove all his materials every night from this one job. And he has never used that trailer ever since. Really? Would you be interested in doing a trade? And so I ended up trading a Mousing Around for this beautiful Hallmark trailer. And both of us were happy.
You guys like these? Oh, I'm just kidding. I'll take it over for a little bit. How are we doing on time, Rob? Good. What? No? Tight? No, we can do this. That's pretty quick. A couple years ago, in fact, I've seen a lot of people ask, why don't you do something quick on something that we all can relate with? Voltmeters. Of course, you asked for it. I'm going to give you a quick course on voltmeters. Let's go. Obviously, we've got two different types. We've got our standard analog voltmeters, and then we've got our digitals. I briefly summed it up, very simple. Analog, obviously, displays values on a dial with a needle pointer. Great for locating excessive resistance. Of course, good for small monitoring changes in digital meters where they actually round the values up. There we go. Digital ones, obviously they're easier to read. Some of these newer ones are auto-ranging, which is good for beginners. They do have a lot of functions depending on what type of meter you actually get. The continuity test, which is obviously the beep tone. We do diode tests. I mean, the list can go on and on. As for voltmeter usage, we'll keep it simple. To test DC current,
we can use either, well, actually the make sure the voltmeter is actually set to DC. I've seen a couple of rare occasions where some voltmeters can auto-sense DC and AC. Naturally, to read the voltage, obviously put your red probe on the positive side and the negative on the ground or even a ground source. Of course, you notice I've got a bomb suit here. That's, of course, if you do want to get over your head and try some of those heavy voltages in the pinball game. AC current, very simple. You can use either probe to test it. I've got a couple examples here where you can actually use it to test line bridges, voltages, and so forth, general illumination, and some motors. We're going to use a quick way of testing. I stole this graphic off the internet. I think it's pretty brilliant on how to test diodes. Most diodes can be commonly found on switches, coils, lamps, and driver boards. And of course, there's the right way and there's a wrong way of testing it, but obviously with the diode test, we can see that when it's hooked up with the forward bias, we got our 0.7 or 0.5, 0.6, whatever reads. And if it's reverse, obviously, it's going to be overload or open. And I took a quick picture here last night of testing an actual diode on the circuit of a lamp. And we see on there, in the blue arrow is pointed down to my meter, I've got a test to a diode. And the red one, obviously, pointing to the cathode of the diode. The big one here, obviously, continuity test. I see a lot of people use this, especially finding broken wires in pinball machines. It obviously determines if the circuit's open or closed. I recommend a meter with definitely long leads. If they're not long enough, make your own gator clip, make it longer. The Ohm's test, well, we're not going to go into it very detailed because you can go on and on about it. Obviously, it's a symbol for ohms. It's the Greek letter of omega. Mainly used to test resistors. And I put a side note here that most tests can be done by putting the voltmeter leads on either side of a resistor or device which you're measuring the resistance on. It's ideally recommended to test the resistors out of circuit with the power off. Hopefully, that's pretty simple enough. Hopefully, that's quick enough, Rob. I got a couple references here that... you can find so many different websites devoted to using your voltmeters and different testing and so forth. I do recommend Clay's website. He has a little section on voltmeters, but not a lot, just enough to be dangerous. And, of course, the best thing is hands-on. If you know anybody that's got any meter that knows how to use it, have them show you how to do it. Hopefully that's a quick course. Do you guys have any questions?
In wrapping up, one of the things that I really enjoy about coming to Expo is meeting the people who come here. Roger Sharp's book, Pinball, I had before coming to Expo, and I brought it with me, and I have it. It's one of my prized possessions. I've got it autographed by Harry Williams and Harvey Heist, Jerry Kelly, George Melenton, Norm Clark, Ed Krinsky, and Steve Kordak, and Wayne Nines, Gordon Morrison, and Dave Christensen. My only complaint about that with coming to Expo is I've never met Christian Marsh and a few of the other classics. I wish Constantino Mitchell was more of a regular. Haven't seen him in years. So if the current books that are out now and the designers who come to Expo, get your stuff autographed. You'll treasure them for the rest of your life. And thank you.